Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Jim Galante here once more from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. This is typically reserved for Ask Greg, but since Greg Pickle couldn't be with us today, he's fighting through an illness, this is going to be Ask Me. I'm the one with the power this week. I've been waiting for it. I've never had this degree of power at my fingertips before. I've lived a sad life, I guess, but
I was going to tell you not to let it go to your head, but that's a little too late.
Done. Yeah, it's already done. So the winning question, you know, we're going to take questions from you guys on the Penn State football front. I'm sure there's some recruiting stuff with signing day coming up. The best question as decided once again by me will get a Keystone Sports Network polo shirt. So,
all right, ready to start?
I think so.
You're going to understand very quickly why I chose this one first. This is Pat from Westchester. Hi, Greg, or Dustin. Thanks for your analysis and insight, as always. With the current class, who do you think is the most underrated player? Also, can Dustin do his best Mike Gundy impression?
I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm 37, actually, but you get it.
Pat, you ask... Dustin delivers.
Yeah, I might have to circle back on that one. I might have to do a little bit of rehearsing before I do that for real the next time. That's just off the top of my head. Underrated prospect in this class. Boy, I think there are a lot of candidates for it. I'm a big fan of Amin Vanover, the defensive end from St. Joseph Regional in New Jersey. 6'4", 260. He didn't get many opportunities to play a big role for that team because they're loaded, including, I think, Smith Vilbert blocked him from a starting job last year. And Smith Vilbert's on the Penn State roster now. He's an interesting player. I believe he had an Alabama offer. So I think that always, to me, suggests a lot that this is a kid who has a lot to grow into. The junior college guys, boy, Penn State offered them and they accepted so quickly that nobody had any expectations or any knowledge really of who they were. And I think they both had big years. Talking about Jair Brown and Norval Black. I'm a fan of Jair Brown, who at 6 feet, 203 pounds, like he's built to play safety and or cornerback. Like he's a really good athlete. So there are a number of guys, the five offensive linemen, you know, they've taken on, I believe, some more project type players, guys who aren't going to be ready to contribute year one. And I think they did that on purpose. I think they're going to try to build a lot of these guys up into who they believe they can be. So a lot of candidates. I'll go with Amin Vanover though.
All right. I'm going to give you two quick names. Malik Mega, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think so.
What I like is he's a big wide receiver. He's 6'4", out of Canada, probably doesn't get a lot of ink.
He runs in that 4'5 neighborhood too, like size and speed, just those raw qualities, they're absolutely there.
So that I like. And I'll also point at the quarterback, Bowens, because I like the way this team recruits quarterbacks who have always been kind of under the radar, going all the way back to Trace McSorley.
He's a winner. You know, he plays for a really good program. He plays against really good competition. The fact that he is, you know, 6 feet, 195 pounds, but he's not like a blazer, that works against him in the quarterback rankings. But Penn State doesn't care about that, and I don't think you should either. He's an like I could list 10 guys I really like on this front, but I had to pick one.
All right. Next up is Brian from Kansas City. Brian says, I love all the jokes about the line position. However, with what the Saints are doing with Hill, would you consider studying that offense to figure out a better way to use Levis? He looks almost as athletic as Hill.
I think that was the interesting thing about when we first started designating the line is that, you know, that's where my mind went. You know, I don't think anybody in either the pro or the college ranks utilizes their second quarterback the way the Saints do. Now, sometimes I feel like it's gimmicky for the sake of being gimmicky, but sometimes, you know, opponents just have no idea what to do with him. what your, like, as an offensive coordinator, whenever Penn State does in fact have one again, your mind can go in any number of directions. Talking about double passes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that opponents have to respect about that. Assuming that these guys are athletic enough to run it and catch it and not be a liability in the sort of standard playmaking department. Will Levis looks like that guy. Like, he, you know, in terms of running, he's a tremendous athlete. You know, in the James Franklin era at Penn State, I don't think there's been a better pure athlete at quarterback than Will Levis to come aboard. So he can hold his own, whatever you need him to do. I think he's a better candidate, and that's not even getting into injury proneness and that kind of thing with Tommy Stevens. I think he's a better candidate to do more stuff in the line position than Tommy Stevens ever was.
Well, and also, what do you think? We always hear about putting the line position as a second quarterback in. What would you think of Levis coming in place of Clifford? If the Saints are able to take Drew Brees out of the game,
yeah,
I certainly think Penn State could take Sean Clifford out of the game and let Levis take some of those bumps and bruises,
yeah,
that wore Clifford down through the season.
I think just in clear wildcat situations, Minnesota does that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a quarterback. You're not ruling out passing plays, but you're lining up in the wildcat. A run is probably coming, but opponents have to respect that pass. You know, and there's a lot of stuff you can do where you show run and then pass. I also think that when you're in a situation when both quarterbacks are on the field, and you see this with Drew Brees is a really good athlete too. You know, he's not what you would call a dual threat quarterback. He never was, but he's a really good athlete, like dunk a basketball kind of guy, even though he's a little on the small side. Sean Clifford is in that same kind of conversation. You don't have a liability by kind of, you know, taking Sean Clifford, having him take the snap and then having him split out wide and Will Levis cycle in there. There's a lot of stuff you can do here.
Or a cynical person might say, if Levis takes the snap and you put Clifford out as a wide receiver, he may have better hands than some of the receivers over the last couple of years. However, that would be a cynical person. That's not me.
Not you at all, my friend. I know that.
All right, let's move on. Dan from Southington, Connecticut says, hey, Greg, how important is it for an offensive coordinator to also be a big-time recruiter? Is there more flexibility for the OC to be more focused on game planning than on being a recruiter? Bottom line is, how much weight is being a recruiter on naming an offensive coordinator?
I think it is a big deal, you know, and I'll give you an example of that. Justin Fields decommitting from Penn State, I think that was going to happen anyway. But even when he was on this show, you remember a couple years ago, he was on this show and the idea of Joe Moorhead leaving was being tossed around. And I think it was a valid concern for him and his family at that point in time. And that's exactly how it played out. This is a connection, you know, as a recruit, you're connecting with the head coach, and that's most commonly going to be the person who impacts your decision the most. The NCAA doesn't want that, but that's just where we are. That's where we are. That's reality. But that's on a macro level. On a micro level, especially when you're talking about quarterbacks, you're talking about guys who want the ball in their hands, they're going to need to be able to connect with that offensive coordinator. So I think that it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal for any assistant. If you're not making an impact as a recruiter, you're not going to be long for the game of college football anymore. You would need to be a very special coordinator to kind of keep your job without being an impact recruiter.
Well, and I also think some of the, especially the quarterback position, you're going to relate to that offensive coordinator. That's 100%. Who you're going to be working with.
It's his offense.
So I think when recruiting, especially at quarterback,
yeah,
being a good recruiter is important.
Yeah, if you can't connect, especially with quarterbacks, you're going to have a hard time getting talent there.
All right, here's an interesting one. Jay from Westchester wants to know, he's just got done scrolling through 50 picks on Penn Live of all the prospects that James Franklin greeted. How on earth does he remember all of the kids' names?
That's an unbelievable question. And I think there's a great deal of commitment required there, because not all those 50 are Penn State reaching out and saying, hey, you got to come this weekend. There are teammates of guys that you want to come that weekend. There are family members who are there who aren't even like the players they're not even the people we're talking about greeting. But I have to imagine that he studies that visitor list hard. Like if he's riding somewhere in a car, he's doing something like he's always doing something like that. Because the appearance of being thoughtful, I mean, he's a thoughtful guy anyway, but the appearance of being thoughtful and remembering names, I mean, that seems like a little thing, but if you call Jim Joe,
they'll remember.
You never know. They'll remember that. They'll feel like you didn't appreciate who they are.
And there have been stories of players I won't go into it, an NBA story where people, I think it was an advertiser, got Steph Curry's name wrong.
Yeah.
Guess who didn't get him? I did also hear a story one time with Joe Paterno that the name tags that they would put on these kids when they had a lot of them there, depending on the status of the kid, it was either how they printed the name or where they put it on his shirt to let Joe know, hey, that's one of the critical ones. He's important.
Get to know him, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Our buddy Mike from Harrisburg says, hoping for a Christmas miracle with this one. Please tell me Ohio State is losing a bunch of talent to graduation in NFL. Pretty pleased with a Nittany Lion on top.
I mean, they are, but they always do. I get it's a good news, bad news situation because Ohio State churns through talent. That's what they do. I think that is where Penn State kind of wants to be, is that they're going to third-year guys are leaving for the draft at a high clip because they came in at a certain status and they were developed to a certain level that they had no choice but to move on. Ohio State, is really in very rare company, but coaches love the opportunity to bring in the next guy. We see that with James Franklin. Like, I'm sure he's elated to bring in 30 guys in a 2020 class. They want the next guy coming in. So, yeah, Ohio State's going to lose a bunch of talent, but there's more talent coming in right behind.
And that's always going to be the case. Alabama, yeah. Clemson, Ohio State, you could count on that. Let's see if we could get one more in. Dave from Milwaukee, happy upcoming bowl season. Looking at the performance of Ford, Slade, and Kane this year as new, and he has in quotes, starters, can we get some hindsight love for Miles Sanders? Not among in the media, but among the fans. And he thinks that Miles was underappreciated.
He was. I mean, he set a tone. The expectations were really high as a freshman. He had some kind of typical freshman struggles, had some typical ball security stuff. We saw that, at the start of his NFL career, too. So that set a tone where people just didn't really have a lot of love for him. And I get that. Then he only played one season. He was tremendous for one season. I loved him as a prospect. He was one of the few that I got to see really close up in practices and saw him as a receiver. So I was a big fan of him from the get-go, but Dave does make a good point. My favorite question, though, Brian from Kansas City, I like Will Levis in that Lion position and trying to look ahead to 2020 and seeing how all this stuff shakes out and how Penn State can manage to keep him around where they weren't able to do that with Tommy Stevens. So there you go. That's Brian from Kansas City. My favorite question. We're moving on for now. Jeff Brown going to talk some Penn State basketball in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron, all in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.